I would like to thank the Basketball Hall of Fame for electing me into the Hall of Fame.
Now, that was as a player, but she's also well on her way to being a Hall of Fame coach.
Our team rules are, like, great character traits. Be on time. Be respectful. Like, those are team rules.
If you think about it, it's pretty basic, even if it's uncommon. And she says it all comes back to her Philly roots.
You know, Philadelphians, when you come home, they, you know, they take care of you. They still protect you.
She's a legendary player and coach, and she's finally sharing it all in her new best-selling book.
Uncommon favor that God has given me. And I'm like, I gotta, my cup runneth over. I gotta get this out.
High school star, college star, multiple gold medal winner, and champion coach, Philly's own Dawn Staley, now on The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. Seems a little unusual, the setting, because it is. We had the exciting opportunity to take the show on the road because Coach Dawn Staley in town, book signing. It's hometown.
Hometown.
It's home, just coming home. In, spending some time with us. We appreciate you doing it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's still home?
Yeah, it's always going to be home. I don't live here, but it's home.
Okay. It still feels good to just come back into Philly.
Always. Philly. I get home to Philly maybe two or three times a year, mainly in the warm climate weather. Spring and summer.
That time of year.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and obviously we're going to talk about the book, but Philly has always been such an important part of your life. Now you've ascended to such levels and accomplished so many things and in the media and doing the interviews. Can you still come home and just be home, or is it different now when you come home?
No, I mean, it's not different. I think you know, Philadelphians, when you come home, they, you know, they take care of you. They still protect you. They still want a part of you. They want more. I think last year I came and did I think Mitchell and Ness had some jerseys, some throwback jerseys and T-shirts and apparel. And we set up a store visit. I mean, everybody was around the corner. Like, it was like so much love when I come back to Philly that it really feels good to come back and just feel the love, receive the love, give the love.
Right. And now South Carolina is claiming you as theirs. They're sitting there. Y'all are in the tournament. You're doing things. There's like, she loves Philly, but right. She's ours now. Mm-hmm. Like, how's that feel? Another place has now said you're home here too.
You know, South Carolina has grown on me. And I think I've grown on South Carolina. I think we're at a place where there's just not a real respect and love for each other. Like, I've been, you know, and I'm in the community. Like, I live in a community. I do community events. I do a lot of stuff. Much like when I was living here in Philly, yeah. I was in the community doing, you know, my after school program. And just when I was at Temple, we made sure our players had outreach, that we're out there. And it's not even for the publicity of it, but it's for, you know, to who much is given, much is required. And you have to go out and understand that you live a privileged life, like to go to school, to go to school for free, like on scholarship. Mm-hmm. There are other young people out there that won't have that opportunity, so they have to scratch and claw. You have to be that ray of hope for them to see a different way of living and growing and expanding.
Was that hard to do in South Carolina? Like, you're Philly, that's always been, I mean, that's always been you, but you don't think about that when you think, all right, I'm going to leave Temple, North Philly, home, and I'm going to go build that same community in South Carolina.
You know, it took a while because I went there for the basketball part of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really envision, like, what it would look like in the community because I was singularly focused on getting our program to a great place. And I didn't know what came with that. I don't know what would contribute to that because it's so new. It's just like your head is down and you're just trying to put a product on the floor that people can be proud of. But I found that the more I immerse myself into the community, the better off our team ascended to, you know, a deeper love. Like, even if we didn't win all mm-hmm. the time, we won the community over, and it felt good because they were with us every step of the way.
Surprising at all?
Very. Very. Yeah. Like, I didn't, you know, like, we've been number one in attendance for the past 10 years, like, in the country, like, number really? One. Okay. I didn't envision, like, sold-out arena. Like, I really didn't. That wasn't even a part of, you know, I didn't have the broad vision of seeing the crowd. I just really was singly focused on the product. Mm-hmm. And now I know you gotta look like a national championship team if you want to be a national championship. And that's just not the product. It is the home court advantage. Like, you have to create a home court advantage. And I the fans did that. You know, we gave them access. Like, we would just invite them to our office. Hey, come check our office out. We'll show you around. We'll have some drinks and refreshments. And then from those moments, word of mouth, our season ticket holders started increasing. And now the ticket prices increase because we're in such demand.
Yeah. It is, when you do that, you come to South Carolina. Right. And I'm going to talk about a lot of things and how you got to that point and the inspiration. But you come to South Carolina. They're not very good when you get there. Players follow you. You kind of build into a powerhouse now. Is it hard getting these talented? You're getting the best players from across the country. And sometimes on your team, they got to sit for 2 years.
Right.
You know, before they ever get onto the court. So it seems like you're not just developing great players, you're developing great people. Because they've kind of gone through that process, or is that just who you're recruiting?
I mean, it's a number of things. I do think young people are attracted to winning. That's number one, mm-hmm. right? And they're probably thinking, that probably won't be me having to sit for 2 years. And it's really just like, all of our players know it's all about production when it comes to playing time. Like, it's just production. If someone's outplaying you, if someone's outscoring you, if someone's out hustling you, then that lends itself to playing time. But aside from that, like, I think I have a reputation of probably being a little more strict than traditional. Like, but, you know, for me, it's not even that. It's like, our team rules are, like, great character traits. It's not anything different. Be on time. Be respectful. Like, those are team rules. Mm-hmm. And if you can't be that, then you're not going to be successful anywhere you go. So I just want to make sure that we keep those qualities intact, because that creates just good synergy. I mean, respect, and you respect the game. You respect your opponents. You respect your teammates. You respect your professors. You respect the community and what it does for our team. I think you'll get more rewarded for that than anything.
Where did the a little more strict, all right? Because in the book, Uncommon Favor, you talk about your mom, you talk about North Philly, you talk about the upbringing, in really glowing terms. But it wasn't easy, like that strict, you know, that community that was there. That was that just kind of what inspired it to be you now?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, my mom was strict, like really strict, and you acclimate to it, right? Everybody's got to acclimate to where you are in your life. And under my mother's roof, you're going to abide by her rules, whatever the rules are. More, again, character traits. It's just as repercussions if you break those rules. But once you acclimated and you really see what the projects were all about, it was about community. It was about discipline. It was about togetherness. It was about a helping hand. Like, all of those things were a part of my upbringing. But if you were on the outside looking in, you know, you can't see it because you're not a fabric of our community. You're just an outsider looking in saying, you know, first thing that comes to mind is, you know, poverty. Second thing is crime infested. Third thing, you know, some of everything. And when you've acclimated to those, you know, that community, that's not the first thing that comes to mind when you're in it. And I think those are valuable lessons that I've taken, you know, from when I, as far as I can remember, 8, 7, 6 to now. And it's nothing changes with how you treat people. Nothing changes with the discipline you need to be successful. Nothing changes with treating people with respect and having community. And our community was like a team. It's a team effort in order for us. We had the cleanest block in the projects. When I tell you the cleanest, manicure lawns, like everything, because we had a strict block captain, Ms. Jones. Like, she didn't even let her grandchildren, like her children, really come into our block and do anything besides walk. You couldn't even really run through our block. So, you know, it was just that. It was the discipline of the fourth block and growing up there and knowing there are certain things that are tolerated and certain things that aren't.
Why did you decide? And people who have spoken to you, we've spoken periodically mm-hmm. Over the years, and so you hear some of those stories. People who watched you play in high school, mm-hmm. you could see the discipline then, and it kind of went through. But you're not. I am drawing conclusions, okay. But you don't seem terribly open previously to just talking about your personal life. Yeah. Like, here's my experiences. Mm-hmm. And you do some in the book. Why now? Why'd you decide to do that?
Well, 3 years ago, I went on the Breakfast Show, Charlemagne the God. Like, he's mm-hmm. written a couple of books, and once I finished my interview on the show, he was like, you should write a book, mm-hmm. right? And he really doesn't know me. He's from South Carolina, but he really doesn't know. He knows the success I've had as a coach and probably a little sprinkling as a player. But I think him going through the process of writing a book, he thought I was a good candidate. And then, you know, he's got a publishing company. So he was really persistent in saying, you need to write a book just for the next probably, you know, year. And then I gave him a soft yes. And I'm like, yeah, really, really what I get myself into.
Right.
And then as time, and then when we won the championship last year, when we were undefeated, like, I'm like, and I described it as uncommon favor that God has mm-hmm. given me. And I'm like, I gotta, my cup runneth over. I gotta get this out. Like, and I gotta get it out before I forget all the stuff that's in the book, because I am getting older, and, you know, and the successes sometimes, you know, trump other successes, and you just don't have a vivid imagination or memory about what it was. And it's more of paying homage to my mom and basketball and North Philly. You know, and just God, like, I mean, no one comes out of the projects of North Philly, Raymond Rosen Housing Projects, and have the type of success. And you have to, you know, attribute that to something. And I do, like, the man upstairs has been, like, has given me uncommon favor for my entire life. And I'm not just saying the successes. The losses, I thank God for the wins and the losses, because the losses are the ones and the failures are the things that really help define me. They do. Like, you know, we lost this year in the championship. I'm like, well, why? And now I have to figure out the why. And it all makes sense. We lost the year before we won the undefeated season, because we had an undefeated season and we lost in the Final Four. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, why, you know, I did say why. I did ask why. Like, why would you actually give the kids, because we had a great team that, I mean, they did everything right. Like, they never fought it. They just, anything you ask them to do, they did it. They didn't question it. They just did it. And we had really good success. And then we ended up losing in the semifinals to Iowa. And I'm just like, how you let this? The kids were hurt. They were just so hurt. And I don't like young people to hurt at all. So I'm just asking the Lord, why? What's the significance of it? Why? And then we lose our starting five. We lose our top two contributors on that team. And we come back last year, and the unlikeliest group goes undefeated. And that is God's way of, like, uncommon favor, saying, I can show you better than I can tell you. Like, you know, you don't lose faith in me. I got you, but you just got to keep the faith. And
so you just believe in all. I mean,
I do.
Everywhere you've gone, and there's a lot of people who have faith, I hope. You know, there's a lot of people who believe, I hope. Yeah. There's not a lot of people who have had this level of success. And you just kind of, do you expect it? Do you keep working towards it? I mean, everywhere has been a win, yeah. And a win largely on and off the court, like leaving an impact.
Yeah, I know it's God that's one. I know that what happens in failures, I think I handle pretty good. Like some people will wallow in sorrow for failures or unsuccessful experiences. Like, okay, like, but North Philly prepared me for, right. Like, that's it?
Right.
Is that it? So let me fix the why. Why did we lose, right? Like, let me fix the why and see, you know, if that is the very thing that can allow us to hurdle over a failure. I think I've been pretty disciplined to the game, I sacrificed a lot. It wasn't like I didn't go to proms, I didn't go to family reunions, I didn't go to all those things people were doing. I didn't have very many friends. Like, I really didn't. Like, I didn't like the party, I didn't like the drink, I didn't like to do anything. I just like to play sports. I think I'm happy that I was able to use my competitiveness in the positive way with sports, because, you know, I mean, there are probably people that I grew up with that are equally as competitive as I am. I just channeled it in the right way.
Yeah. You talked before, last time we talked, that whole competitive nature, about the thing that was largely influential is not making the Olympics team. Mm-hmm. You know, and they told you the things that you couldn't get taller. Like, there were things, and just went back and worked. And that just kind of seems like that mindset. Your players, Asia Wilson, she's just the one who immediately comes to mind, but there are others, a whole bunch of them in the pros mm-hmm. right now. With all of that discipline, all of that strict, all of that your mom, like mm-hmm. all that North Philly, they all still seemingly view you as much as a friend as a coach. Is that ever a fine line to walk? Because it's clear they're going to do what you say, but there's still that level of respect and love.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just finished my 25th year. My first recruiting class at Temple, two of them worked with me for 13 years. One of them is probably on her 12th year and currently on our staff. They're some of my best friends, you know, Asia and Aaliyah, like they're grown women now.
Yeah.
So you're always going to be coach, but you also move into a role of just being there for them. Another adult in their life that they can call on that is non-judgmental. Like I like to think of myself as non-judgmental. They come with me with a problem, no matter what it is, I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to help them get through it. And I think a lot, and the players that I have that kind of relationship with are unafraid to bring their worries to me, to bring their problems to me. Some of them think I'm gonna shame them or whatever. That's probably why they're so hesitant. They just give me all of them. If you give me all of you, I can be a better resource for you. Like, I can help you without judging you. That's one of the best compliments one of my former players gave me, was I'm non-judgmental. Like, and I really take that to heart, because I never want young people to be afraid to approach me with things, because it's not even new problems. It's recycled problems. It's the same old problems year in and year out. So, you know, instead of you holding on to it for months, let's just have a 5-minute conversation, get it over with, and then you can add some more other problems to your life.
Is it fair to say, I mean, you're deeply competitive, but you care more about the people than the win?
I absolutely do. There's a way to go about doing things. And I do think it is people over the process. If you can get the people right, the process will run a lot smoother. So for me, and that's one of the lessons in the book, it is that part first. Like, the basketball is really the easy part of our day. Like, that's, if you can get the person with the right mentality going into practice, you're going to have a good practice. You're going to have a shorter practice. You're going to have a more compact quality practice, versus if their mindset is off, you're going to spend the entire time, half of it, trying to get them in the right mindset. The other half is when they really got it 3 hours later, when this practice could have been half of that.
Yeah.
So it's just that. It's that approach. I'm really into just making sure the person, the human being in players is checked off in a way that is lean, so we don't have to waste time.
Book is just out, on its way to number one. Well on the journey. When we pick it up, what are we going to see? We're going to see your mom, explain Uncommon Favor. Like, what are we going to read?
For me, it's pretty personal, but it's relatable. And I'm just going to give you, my friends have bought the book. They've bought the audio book. They've listened to the entire book. And people are texting me, and they're just giving me what they get from the book. Some of them laugh, cry, and there are some just relatable lessons. I just read a text message from my sister. Her daughter texted her and said, Aunt Dawn really did a really good job at telling the story of how y'all grew up. Because she doesn't know. She's another generation. You know, one of my friends, I talked about, how I got to become a dog mom, right? It's from another dog that my niece used to live with me had, and he ended up having brain disease. He only lived for like 6 months. And, one of my friends is a dog mom, cried on that part. Another coach, assistant coach at Clemson, he just said, I don't even read books, but I read your book. Like, I read your book, and this is what we needed. Like, this is the words that he's saying. It's so many gems in there. It's just really, paying homage to your mama. Like, you and your mama's household. Like, that is the person that you see every day. And I know sometimes it's hard as young people to try to emulate your parents because they're so strict. You think they've never been young. But parents are long game people. Like, they're long game. They're not short game. We're young people are short game. Like, you just want what feels good to you right now. If you could just understand what your parents are trying to instill in you, you could play the long game a lot shorter. You'll get from the book just what North Philly and Philly means to me. Like, really, there is nothing that I'm unafraid of to accomplish. There's no challenge that's too big for me to say, hey, I can hurdle that. Yeah. Basketball has been, these are like three mainstays in my life that's guided me to doing some unimaginable things. And then it's just really life stories. My motto, my two life models, the disciplined person can do anything. And then my other one is, I got it from Kid and Play. I swear to goodness, it was a Kid and Play, like House Party 2.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm over. Again, I got cut from the 92 Olympic team. I'm over in Segovia, Spain, trying to get international experience. And I had an off day, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch all the house parties. And it was a VHS, got the House Party 2. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, why am I here? This isn't even really basketball. This isn't everything, you play mind games. I don't even know why. I should just pack up and leave. I can do this on my own, right? And then Kid and Play were in college, and they were messing around and partying, and the professor was like, you have to do what you don't want to do to get what you want. I'm like, what? Rewind that? Like, why? And then I was like, what? And then it was what I needed. I was over there getting international experience. I hated it, didn't want to do it, but I wanted to be an Olympian. So it made the days go by a lot quicker because of that. And now I shouted to it applies to anybody. If you go into a, middle school, ask them who wants to be in the NBA, WNBA, doctor, lawyer. Well, who wants to do this homework, right? Who wants to get up in the morning and go to school? Like, none of them, but you want all of these other things. Well, that's the sacrifice.
I could keep talking to you. I promised I would stop after a certain point. So one or two and we'll, okay, we will be done. At this point, you've been in this long enough to have kind of seen the journey, that you've seen and probably played in some empty spaces. You know, you've been a pro and an Olympian when people were not paying attention as much. What does it mean to you to be one of the people who has kind of established the foundation to when women's sports in general, women's basketball is like, whoa, like it's blowing off the charts?
I don't really take myself too seriously. Like, I really don't. Like, I am doing what I'm supposed to do. What, you know, whatever that is. I feel like I owe basketball. I'm forever indebted to it because it's given me so much. Like, so much comes with basketball. Like, it is a teacher. Like, you're always learning something. It provides you. You know, I could have goals and dreams, right? But within those, achieving those, other aspirations come from those things, and it just continues to grow. And every time I check off one goal and get to another, you know, you coaching becomes a part of my life. And I'm like, I never wanted to be a coach, and I didn't aspire to that. But now that I'm in it, I aspire to be a dream merchant for my players. Like, it is all about them. Like, at this stage of my career, it's totally all about them meeting their goals and getting whatever they need in life and helping them navigate through that. And I'm still trying to replay basketball because it's given me so much, but it's the gift that keeps on giving.
You still love this?
I mean, I love it. When I stop loving it is when I'll give it up. Like, probably cold turkey. Like, seriously.
It's like I'm retiring today.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not retiring today. But, you know, when it's time to hang up my shoes and do something else, I won't be dragging it out. I won't. It'll probably be a quick, I'm out.
On to the next chapter.
On to the next book, right?
We end every show on The Pulse. You were on before. I ask everybody the same question because the show is about using your voice for good. When you hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does it mean to you?
For me, it means, and I mean, it's my life. It's look, sound, feel. Is that, yes, part of y'all? Okay.
the
church. Hello.
Right?
The church that opened the doors of the church, right?
And all of us are looking around. I'm like, don't come with theme.
Right.
What is going on? Thank
but,
you.
But you know, it means how you know, now that I'm over 50, look, sound, and feel. If something looks, sounds, or feels off, you address it. Mm-hmm. If it looks, sounds, or feels like good, you encourage and you promote it. That is really, you know, using your voice and for good. Like, it is for good. Even if it's calling some people out, it's for the greater good of perspective, and it may not be for you, but it might be for whoever needs to hear it.
Guys, thanks for spending some time today listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast with Coach Dawn Staley. We call her Coach now, but she's also a legendary player, multiple-time gold medalist, was a former player of the year, professional athlete, you name it, she's accomplished it, and now is a best-selling author, and she's Philly's own. So I really enjoyed sitting down, hearing more of her story. I hope you did as well. Do me a favor. I always ask you to hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that you have to hit so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse is available. Also, download the Fox Local app. That way, you can take us with you, all of our shows right there on demand at your fingertips. And you can hit me up with questions, comments, concerns, constructive criticism, encouragement, whatever it is, hit me up on social at Bill A. Fox 29. I love hearing from you. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.